Beginning 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Radio Amateur Information Network, this is the Rain Report. I'm Renee Runkel, NZ9T. In spite of how poor the HF ham bands have been in the past 5 years, one aspect of amateur radio that has grown is QRP, the communication on the low bands with fewer than 10 watts. One veteran of QRP is ham radio writer Richard Arland, K7SZ. Besides writing for QST magazine, Richard authored the book ARRL's Low Power Communication, The Art and Science of QRP, available on Amazon. Here is an excerpt from his QRP talk he delivered at the 2010 Dayton Hamvention. The incidental music was actually in the background of Richard's presentation. You're listening to a 2010 Dayton Hamvention presentation by ham radio writer and QRP notable Richard Arland, K7SZ, talking about communications on the HF ham bands using a few watts or less. We'll conclude our excerpt from the forum talk in a moment. This is the Rain Report, now at a presence on Twitter at twitter.com/therainreport.com. The observations of QRP notable and ham radio author Richard Arland, K7SZ, excerpted from his 2010 forum talk at the Dayton Hamvention. The incidental music was actually in the background of Richard's presentation.
QRP is originally defined as a Q signal, meaning shall I decrease power or please decrease power. Back in the early 60s, when K6JSS decided he was going to go ahead and form the QRP Amateur Radio Club International, 100 watts was defined as QRP. That's since been dropped quite a bit. The current definition used by us aficionados is full-blown ham radio done at the 5-watt level. And I do mean full-blown ham radio. Satellites, DX, contesting, CW, single sideband, PSK31, you name it, we can do it all at 5 watts or less. The FCC defines, under Part 97, defines that you shall use the least amount of power to maintain communications. And that is a problem sometimes, as anybody who's been on the bands has found out. It can get quite crowded. The problem is, a lot of people with amplifiers like to use them to talk across town, which we'll get into that a little bit later. How often have we seen this abused? Almost on an hourly basis. Because there's a lot of times that you can sit there and use a lot less power and get the job done. History of QRP 101. K6JSS started the QRP ARCI in 1960. High power, 500 watts, medium power, 1 to 500, and under 100 watts was the current definition until 1970 and 1980. A number of things happened during that time period, and the club made a major shift and finally adopted 5 watts output, 10 watts PEP for sideband output. And then there's the QRP with the subscript P for the milliwatters and the microwatters, and yes, you can do that. I've run 980 milliwatts in contests before and have been quite successful with it, and not using anything more than a 3-element tri-bander at about 30 feet for 20 and up, and some HF wire antennas, so it can be done. The objectives. What we want to do in our little corner of the ham radio world is to increase equipment and antenna efficiencies. These are the two things that we have the most control over. Anytime you have the ability to erect a better antenna or a more efficient antenna, you should take that opportunity and make it happen, because the antenna portion of it is the one thing that you can actually lay your hands on and make major differences in how you sound on the air and make up for that disparity in power between you and a 100-watt station. Improve your operating skills. I will guarantee you, if nothing else, if you drop down to 5 watts and pursue it diligently, you will be better than about 80% of the operators currently on the air. You have to be. You have to know how to use your radio. You have to know how to use propagation. You have to know how to work your keyer and your contact and your microphone and your voice keyer. It's just operating skill plays a lot to do with it, and it's not just RF power. Improved design efficiency. In case you hadn't noticed, there's a number of people out there now offering some really, really nice kits. Among them is Elecraft. They started with the K2 and the K1. There's the K3 is now out. Base price on that radio in kit form is $1,470-some, which sounds like a lot of money until you put it up against some of the stuff coming in from overseas. It has literally the best specs of anything on the market today. A lot of the QRP guys have those things, and it's filtering down into the guys that do weak signal work on VHF, UHF as an IF strip because of the receiver. Guys who do a lot of high power DXing use either the 10 or the 100 watt version and drive an amp just because of the receiver. So that is one piece of equipment that has really revolutionized the QRP hobby, and it's all American made, which is cool. They haven't decided to offshore it yet. Size, weight reduction, maximized design, minimal components. George Burt, GM3OXX over in Scotland, has a homemade 1-watt QRP station. He has worked over 300 countries with an antenna that's about a foot and a half off his roof, and it's a 28 megahertz extended double ZEP, and he feeds it with 300 ohm line, I believe, 300, 450 ohm line, and he has literally worked other than 10 meters and over 300 countries, which all with homebrew equipment, and you ought to see his work. It's an absolute work of art. QRP motivation, first thing I'll tell you is it's not for everybody. You've got to check your ego at the door, along with the linear amplifier. It's a challenge. That's one of the things I like about it, that and the people that you meet. The people that you meet in here are really great people. Use a fraction of the power to communicate on a worldwide basis all the time. Your 5-watt signal is 13 dB or slightly more than 2S units down. So if the band conditions are right and you're hearing a 100-watt station at an S9, your signal on 5 watts is going to be an S7. Well, that's a perfectly copyable signal. It's not a problem to copy that. As the band conditions deteriorate, your signal level is going to be a little harder to receive, but for the most part, 5 watts does the job. Of course, if you're comparing it to a kilowatt signal, you're quite a ways down, but then again, you don't need that linear amplifier on there all the time. Granted, there's times that you need it.
You're listening to a 2010 Dayton Ham Veteran presentation by ham radio writer and QRP notable Richard Arlen, K7SZ, talking about communications on the HF ham bands using a few watts or less. We'll conclude our excerpt from the forum talk in a moment. This is the Rain Report, now with a presence on Twitter at twitter.com/therainreport.com.
The other thing that's nice is there's no TVI or RFI, virtually none. And that's quite nice in this day and age when you have the condo restrictions and everything else. You can drop an antenna into a nearby tree and stealthily feed it and get on the air and nobody even knows you're there, which is kind of cool. And the simplicity of homebrew equipment design. This is one area. Homebrew and QRP are almost inseparable. You will find a lot of people get into the homebrew aspect or get into QRP simply because of the homebrew aspect, because they want to build something. Those days of yore, back in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, are recreated every day in QRP, because you can sit there and find people who have made their entire station out of bags of parts. I just bought a direct digital synthesized VFO last night, and of all the parts to make it, a 5-watt transmitter from W8DIZ, and I hardly wait to tear into that thing because it's really cool, and it's going to be really small. Great way to apply electronic theory, and it's also a great accomplishment. You can take pride in what you do, and when you advertise on the air, yeah, the gear here is all homebrew, and you got a nice clean signal, and you get compliments on it, it makes you feel good. It's also an inexpensive way to get on the air, and God knows we need that in this economy. Great way to lower equipment costs. You can find some really good bargains on used QRP equipment. You can buy a Tentec Argonaut 509 now for under $200, which was a mainstay 35 years ago. I've rebuilt my 9th or 10th one. It's now on the bench, and I'm using it as my primary radio. 35-year-old analog radio. If I can hear them, I can work them. And I don't have anything special for antennas. Going green, recycling all those Altoid tins. A lot of the stuff for QRP is built around a circuit board. It'll fit inside an Altoids tin. And it's kind of cool. Got to do something with the breath mints, so give those away. But anyway, and it dovetails nicely with the ecological concerns we have of today, dropping the RF pollution out there, because there's a lot of crap on the bands, and it's generated by people using too much power to talk when they don't need to. And a great way to get the CW speed up. Most of the stuff I do is around the 15 to 18 word a minute level, which to those who've not really done any CW, it sounds like a really fast-paced CW. Believe me, it is not. the guys I hang around with in the DX Club and some of my friends up in Pennsylvania where I just moved down from, they do like 40, 45 words a minute. I cannot copy above 28, so needless to say, they have to slow down when we get on the air, but you can definitely become a better operator. Successful QRP strategies. Call strong stations and answer CQ, don't call CQ. For the first few months involved, pick the strong stations because they're going to be listening. And the chances are, if you don't say your QRP, they're probably not going to ask, say, hey, what's wrong with your signal, or why are you so weak, or please increase your power, because they're not going to pick that up. Do your homework. I cannot stress this enough. Know your equipment and spend time in front of the radio, even if you have an old ICOM 735. An old Heathkit SB-102 tube rig. Spend some time in front of the equipment and learn how to use it. That's your gear. That's your operating pipe. Pull out the manuals and get reacquainted with your radio set. Understand propagation. That's another thing. Get the book from CQ Magazine. I write for CQ. That's not the reason I'm going to say this. The magazine is the Shortwave Propagation Handbook. It used to be written by Jacobs. It's now written by Ted Cohen and somebody else, N6CX. That is probably the best thing you can do. Go down and spend the money. Tell Dick Ross I sent you. Pick up a copy of the book. Join, in my instance, Southeast DX Club. Get acquainted with the DX newsletters, the DX spots. I like VE7CC because it's a very, very well-organized DX reflector. The stuff pops up all the time, and you can filter what you don't want to hear. You can filter by band. You can filter by call sign. You can filter by time of day. You can filter by just about anything. So you're not getting constant movement on the screen. Make use of QRP resources. Internet lists of stuff all over the internet and Yahoo groups, local Elmers, guys that help you get the license, find one. Anybody around the Atlanta area, I'm available. Ken's available. Chris, where you at? Chris available? Chris isn't in here. Club newsletters, QST, Radcom, CQ. Back issues of 73. Speaking of technical applications, Mike Bryce, WB8VGE, who used to write for 17 years, wrote the QRP column for them, taught himself electronics from the ARRL handbook. And if you've ever seen over the last 8 or 9 years all of his projects that have come up in QST, the guy should be an electrical engineer. He's not. He's just self-taught. But his stuff not only works, it works very, very well, and he's a very, very nice guy to meet. Join a national QRP organization like QRP ARCI, GQRP Club, or any of the international clubs. There's a lot out there, and there's a lot of information available. It's going to be to your advantage to do that. Some more strategies? I cannot stress enough. If you try to do QRP, once you get your feet wet and you've made a few dozen contacts, you think you're on top of the world, and you start trying to bust pileups, you're going to be beating your head against the wall and stop only because it feels so good to stop. You have got to understand the rhythm of the band, the rhythm of the de-expedition. K5D, anybody work DeSatio Island? A couple of guys? Okay. I was down in Tampa at my daughter's house, who lives in not quite a gated community, but damn near a prison camp. And they have no outside antennas. So I took the FT-817, an 80-meter dipole, and a New Jersey QRP Club multiband dipole, stuck them 15, 16 feet up in a palm tree, and proceeded to work K5D with 5 watts, twice on CW and once on sideband, on different bands, 15 feet off the ground with 5 watts. Nobody saw the antennas. They were up for a full week. I had to tell my daughter they were out there. She freaked. Oh, well, you'll have this. But you don't do that without listening to how K5D is operating and find the rhythm of the pileups and find out when that opportune moment is to send your call sign. Another book to get is the Complete DXer by Bob Loker, W9KNI. Absolutely tremendous book on DXing. I'm sure CQ has the book. I'm sure ARRL sells the book. Read it through. I've had all 3 editions. I've read them multiple times, and I learned something every time I pick it up. There will be times that QRP will not do it. Give it an honest shot. Don't just say, oh, I can't do anything, and put it up, go back to 100 watts or 1,000 watts. Give it an honest to God shot.
The observations of QRP notable and ham radio author Richard Arlen, K7SZ, excerpted from his 2010 forum talk at the Dayton Hamvention. The incidental music was actually in the background of Richard's presentation. You'll find his book, ARRL's Low Power Communication, The Art and Science of QRP, on Amazon. The Rain Report is copyrighted 1990 to 2011. Rain, all rights reserved. I'm Renee Runkel, NZ9T, bidding you a very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network. www.therainreport.com.